In the holy name of Jesus,
amen.
Happy Reformation Day. It's a bittersweet day today. It's bitter because the oneness of the universal Catholic Church became fractured. But it's sweet because true gospel preaching and apostolic teaching found its way into pulpits again. But Luther never wanted to form his own church. He simply wanted to reform the one he was in. He pointed out a few things wrong with the Catholic Church regarding the doctrines surrounding the Pope, the sale of indulgences, and conditional forgiveness. But the Catholic Church, for the most part, ignored him. Thus, they bound the teaching of salvation by the grace of God through faith, not works. Our gospel reading for today from John 8:31 through 36 is fitting for Reformation Day. Because Jesus talks about kingdoms, the kingdom of God versus a carnal kingdom. He talks about slavery and freedom. He encounters institutional pride from the Jews, which is always a problem with any institution or organization, even sometimes our own. All Jesus' teachings here can be answered in the first two verses. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus, in his ministry thus far, has folks who are interested in what he has to say, but aren't sure what to make of it. His audience is Jews who followed him and believe his words, at least so far. And for us, it's much the same. Many folks we know come to hear Jesus' words because he gives comforting, soothing words which no one in the world can give. But as Luther says on his commentary on this passage, there are few who remain true to the gospel in the face of cross and persecution. And if you persevere in Jesus' doctrine that is his word, then you are truly my disciples. Abiding in Jesus' word means much more than paying lip service to God. It means knowing and living truth, which has its center in the cross, the place where freedom is found. But as soon as Jesus insinuates that his Jewish audience are slaves, they get defensive, saying, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" This is where Jewish institutional pride kicks in. They take pride that they are descendants of Abraham because God promised in Genesis 22 that all the nations of the earth will be blessed by them. Their pride says, "No one can enslave us because we're a blessing to the world. And yet you say that for us to be free, you need to lead us there." But they were thinking carnally. They were thinking about the earthly kingdom. It's ironic that they had the illusion of freedom anyway, because they were enslaved and oppressed by the Roman Empire. Nonetheless, they were thinking in terms of earthly kingdoms, where honor, money, goods, and power are staples of freedom. But Jesus was speaking of his heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of truth, a genuine kingdom in which there is real life, that is, where we are recreated to be as we were always meant to be. Now, Luther addressed earthly institutional pride too. The carnal institution ruled by money and power Luther wanted to address was the slavery of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church intertwined money and heartless actions of repentance with forgiveness. They didn't want to submit to the teachings of Jesus from Scripture, which Luther pointed out. They didn't want to abide in his word, because if they did, it would come at a loss of honor, power, money for the institution. And they were slaves to those things, and only the word of Jesus could free them. And it's the only thing that can free us. Only clinging with dear life to Jesus' word, to Jesus himself, brings us freedom. Because if the creator of this world can create our entire universe in 6 days with words, what do you think his word can do with you? His word makes you free so that he can recreate you. But makes you free from what? Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus' word brings freedom from sin. Sin enslaves us by alluring us to live our lives as autonomous beings with no regard to anyone. Sin not only alienates you from God, but it alienates you from your neighbor. But the Son, the Word made flesh, takes your place as a slave, putting himself in bondage so that you're no longer in the jail cell, but he is. That's what the crucifixion is. Jesus takes your place as a slave to the institutional pride from the Jewish religious leaders who wanted Jesus dead. He made himself a slave to the kingdom of the flesh ruled by money and power, as it was with the Romans who used the cross to kill Jesus. And he made himself a slave to all sin, putting it to death on the cross. Jesus led his people away from slavery and brought them to the promised land where there's freedom. Through Jesus' resurrection from the grave, he ensures us freedom from sin, death, and the devil in and through his body. As a result, we are made co-rulers, co-kings, if you will, with Jesus in this heavenly kingdom. This gospel, the gospel which I just preached, was lacking from Roman Catholic preaching near Lutheran Germany. This is the gospel which frees us. This is the gospel which defines our kingdom. And the kingdom is here. Now, reigning forth from this altar, Jesus is there, not giving riches and gold, but something better. He gives us himself, crucified on the cross and resurrected from an empty tomb. Our King gives us his body and blood, humbling himself in bread and wine. He gives us his work of victory over death and the devil. And our King kindly asks us to abide in his word as we carry out his reign here on earth. Because otherwise, we inch ourselves closer to slavery. Reformation is bittersweet. It's bitter because the church lost its visible oneness, and sweet because terrified consciences hear the comforting word of Jesus' death and atonement of sin. As we celebrate the Reformation, don't let Lutheran institutional pride get the best of us. Pray for unity of God's church once again in Jesus and his word. But not a false sense of unity. Pray for a unity in and through our Lord's body and blood. A unity in the teaching of Christ. Pray for a unity in his person and work. Pray for a unity in his crucifixion as atonement for sin and his resurrection as certainty in faith. Pray for a unity in the teaching of salvation by grace through faith alone. Pray for a unity in the true teachings of Jesus. And obedience to God's word will bring us there. So abide in Jesus, and his truth will manifest itself to you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.